Thank you. Good afternoon, brethren.
Good afternoon.
Good to see such a good crowd. It's nice to have this Phoenix cool weather, considering the fact that it's under 100. We're doing quite well. Well, Paul Harvey years ago talked about people who set off to work every day without a dime in their pockets. And he was speaking about kindergartners, how that the value of money means very little to them. They know that it can buy ice cream, but as far as money itself and the value of it, they relate it to what's important to them. You have people that influence all over the world, on television, I should say, the influence of rock stars and political people and people who would like to be political. We have, of course, radio personalities, TV personalities. And, you know, they become a platform, even though they may have just graduated high school. But that doesn't mean that they're any less of a person. But at the same time, their opinions become something. Well, you know what? I think this. Well, okay, but what about the person who's taken the time to hone their skills to become an expert in that field? Well, it really doesn't matter because I want to be emotional on this issue. Oftentimes we see people of influence because they've acquired worldly goods. They tend to think that they speak for all of mankind. Again, we have news and media agencies that interpret the news according to their will. There's a lot of facts out there, but then there's also a lot of add-ons and the fire that's put beside the add-ons to sway public opinion. But who really controls the influence of what we are focused on? Because we see and we know that there is a God of this world, Satan. But ultimately, God's plan, the God of this universe, trumps all of the rhetoric that goes on. Now, we know that in the constituency, elected officials tend to speak for the masses, per se. But we know also that in many cases, it takes those parties to have massive funding to get where they need to get or to get the exposure that they have. We've seen ultimately throughout history that we've went to war. Mankind has went to war several times, well, thousands of times throughout history. And whether or not you call them a friend or an ally is based upon what political parties or who they think is best for us. We see it in the Bible back in the Old Testament. Israel forged unholy alliances. But there are those out there who care not who wins or loses as long as they're able to loan to either side, thusly ensuring their wealth and the outcome. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are familiar with the name Meyer Amschel Bauer? Anybody know that name? Didn't think so. Let me give you a quote from this individual. He said, "Let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes the laws." Upon his father's death, Meyer went back to Frankfurt, Germany, to take over his father's business as a goldsmith. However, Mayer noticed a red shield above his dad's door, and he added five arrows. There was an eagle on that shield above his dad's door, and he added five arrows. Well, the name in German is Rothschild. Thusly, he changed his name to Rothschild. And he is the father of fractional banking. Now, You say, what's this all about? I'm getting to the point. This man, along with his five sons, created the banking system that we know now with fractional reserve banking. And he was able to influence very greatly a lot of leaders of, along with England, France, Prussia, and Austria, just to name a few. He sent his sons throughout all of Europe so that they could start the fiat banking system. He actually funded Cecil Rhodes down in South Africa so that he could be the czar for the diamond fields. He's never heard of him. I'm sure you've heard of Rothschild. But as it stands, the World Banking System, or the International Monetary Fund as we know it, was founded on fractional banking and the lending of fiat money. Now, what do you say? What is fiat money? Well, money that is not backed by anything. That money is, if people lose faith in a nation's paper currency, the money will no longer hold value. My purpose today is not to give you a crash course on the current banking system, but to reaffirm what the true treasure is that God is giving us, and how it will outlast any earthly treasures. So today the title of my sermon is The Worth of One's Treasure. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. He says, "Fear not, little flock," verse 32, "for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasure in heaven which fails not, where no thief approaches, nor does a moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Ultimately, our value, how we value our calling from God and the true plan of salvation, is our measuring stick of what true wealth is. See, we have to understand, we cannot have a limit on God. If we decide that, you know what, God, I'm almost out of money, and, you know, I'm going to have to stop believing in you if things don't go my way. And then when things don't go your way, you say, well, God, I'm going to give you another chance. Then other people say, no, okay, God didn't do it in my time frame, so thusly, I don't have anything, you know, I'll do it on my own. Okay. One of the reasons many religions have determined dates to say that, oh, God's coming back on X date, is because they're putting a time frame on God's return and that when their faith is going to expire. Not so much as to what God says. He said, no man knows the time or the hour. But what God says, he allows us, he tells us to be patient, to wait, and to be faithful. We cannot have a limit on God. And as we move forward and circumstances become more difficult, we cannot give up. We have to go to our treasure chest. Our treasure chest, to dig deep in there and to find the faith, the hope, the assurance, the courage, and the wisdom that God gives to us. Utilizing the true riches of God is placing in our treasure chest the things that matter most. The journey we are called to be on is to watch and pray and to count the cost. We are seeing monumental changes in this time frame right now. We have seen changes that we never thought possible or that are predicted here in the words of God's Bible, but they're coming true right before us. And again, it's hard to think about things when that vortex starts spinning around you. And you say, well, you know, I can't really look at the world, what's happening in the world, because I got my own problems to deal with. I'm down to my last paycheck. I'm behind on my mortgage payment. Or I don't know where my next job's coming from. But sometimes the news is not on the front page. You got to understand, the focus that is being given is dictated by what other people think are important. Not so much what God thinks is important. See, on page 4 of the Arizona Republic back on May 24th, it's interesting to see that the re-election of the German president, not the lady that's in charge over there, but the president himself, is Horst Köhler, who is the former head of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. You have to understand, I've been reading a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. And there's many quotes in there that talks about the reserve banking system. Many people think, oh, you know what? If I go to the bank, my money's there. If there's a run on the bank, your money's not there. Your money's not there. Your money is being, if you put in a dollar, it gets $30, I think. What is it, Chuck? 30? Okay. 3, okay, 30. Thanks, that's my financial guy, so. All right. Anyway, you have to understand that this nation, this system, this world system is fueled by debt. And you hear all the rhetoric that goes on the radios, and you hear all the rhetoric that goes on television, and the world banking system, as it stands, is moving forward to establish itself as the dominant power. And then why do you think that people, and I'm not a political person, but it's not uncommon for a person who comes out of nowhere, but yet and still they have all this backing, and they can come with all these funds to get out in front of you. It's not by accident. See, understanding that there are people in place, as Rothschild spoke and mentioned the fact that, you know, I don't care who's in power, just let me control the money. And there are those that still believe that they're in that thought process. But the Federal Reserve, which was established in 1910, was actually written up by Paul Warburg, who was a German that represented the Rothschilds in front of the British bank. He recorded and outlined the Federal Reserve, and that is the system that's in place. So we get the boom, the bust, and the inflation cycle. Let me give you an idea of what our founding fathers of this country had to say. Because the inflation cycle, which is about to occur or is occurring, is another form of taxation. And we're the benefactors, although we are being beaten up in a system that's been put in place to keep you into servitude. I quote, "Every discouragement should be thrown in the way of men who undertake to trade without capital." That was quoted in 1785, and I'll give you the individual's name here in a minute. "It is miserable arithmetic which makes any single privation or hardship, whatever so painful as to total neediness of everything which must necessarily follow the living so far beyond our income." And a third quote, all by the same individual. "I sincerely believe the banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies, and that the principle of spending money to be paid by posterity, people in the future, under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale." You have any idea who that is who quoted that? It's Thomas Jefferson. This system is based on greed, based upon Satan's way of life, Satan's give rather than get. And what he does to sift us as wheat is to overemphasize the wealth to our tipping point to where our faith may wane. Let's turn over to Malachi chapter 3. I say this, brethren, because it's amazing to me, having looked at the system, because it's like, how can all this be occurring? And this is not new. We've had boom, bust, and inflation cycles for a long time. But we have to focus in on what God's system is. And what God's system says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now. And I looked around, I couldn't, and I asked Mr. Elliott too. I think this is the only place in the Bible where he says, prove me herewith to say unto the Lord of hosts, if I will not open windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not room enough to receive it. We know that God allows Satan's influence to harden the deceitfulness of people. I'll just read it for you, but in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And also in John chapter 12 and verse 40, he has blinded eyes and hardened their heart that they may not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. There are so many people out there now, they wonder why, and everybody's worried about their last dime, their last dollar. Brethren, have faith in God. Trust in God. Know that His will is omnipotent. His loving kindness is there for you. And you know what? And I'll mention it again later, but you know, you can't outgive God. Continue to be loving, caring, giving, serving. Never hold back. We're in this current situation because of greed. Because this system, this Babylonian system, which started out in the modern times with fractional banking, has brought about debt on a level that is never seen before. And government spending and government borrowing is quote-unquote backed by the Federal Reserve, which is a private entity, a cartel per se, that operates as a separate entity. They're there to make money. Now, what does that have to do with the church? Well, it has a lot to understanding what's happening, why it's happening. Because we have to understand that God is in charge. But ultimately, this will bring about the mark of the beast. Greed has caused the system to collapse on itself. And then we get another fresh new set of laws to keep it from ever happening again. And you know what? It's going to happen again. I'm going to go over a few scriptures here about what God says about treasure. I'm going to turn over to, if you want to write these down, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth good things, and the evil man out of evil treasure brings forth evil things. You are fighting an evil system, one that wants you in debt. We have people out there like Dave Ramsey, who Brent is so gracious to have offered the tape for people to listen to. Brethren, his message is simple. Stay out of debt. Stay out of debt. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. That which was a man had found, he hid, and for the joy, therefore he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Brethren, this is our treasure. This wonderful piece of paper and leather sitting in your laps gives us all hope, gives us all understanding, but we have to pick it up. We have to pick it up. We have to use it. We have to ask God for understanding. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, Jesus said unto them, If you will be perfect, go and sell all you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come now and follow me. But we know the story of the young man. He says, but when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let that not be one of us in this room, that we would give up on our calling because we're running out of money, or for whatever reason we think, whether it's money, whether it's gold, whether you name it, you fill in the blank. And in Luke chapter 21, you can write this down. He that lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. It's very important that we focus in on our calling and how important it is and how much God is giving to us and how much he loves us and how much he wants us to stick with him. And when times are tough and we want to bail out and start going our own way, or I can have that job if I just work a few Saturdays, or if I have, you know, something else to do that it may compromise God's laws in the process, well, you know, God won't mind. Brethren, yes, he does. And if you stick with him, he'll never leave you or forsake you. If they can cast out in the water and find a fish with two coins in it, he can certainly help you. If he can tell you to cast your net on the other side and 153 fish come out so much that you can't even pull them in, he can do that for you. He can do that. But we have to believe. We have to have faith. We have to dig deep in our own treasure chest, the treasure chest that God has given us, a treasure chest that's filled with love and compassion and the right answers. God has nothing wrong to say to us. There is no misleading communication from God. Everything he says is true, faithful, and assured that it will be done. Let's look at what's in our treasure chest. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, picking up in verse 1. In Proverbs 2 and verse 1, it says, my son, if you will receive my words and lay up my commandments with you, so as to incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry out after discernment and lift up your voice of understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shall you understand that the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. It's not enough to sit here on the Sabbath and get a 2-hour message. We need to study. We need to pray. As Mr. Ed Dowd mentioned last week, we have to do our part. Now, can we earn salvation? No. It is given to us by grace. However, there's no way that you can hear God unless you are taking in his words. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Another thing in our treasure chest. Having the invitation from God to be a part of his family. Colossians 2 and verse 2, it says, that their hearts may be comforted, and being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of full assurance of understanding, that they may know the mystery of God, even Christ, in whom all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Brethren, there are Christian organizations out there that limit God to just three beings. But we know otherwise. We read Romans, where we can call him Abba, Father, and know that he is our Father. We are his sons and daughters. And he loves us dearly. He cherishes us. But sometimes we forget. But it's our job to make sure that we are doing the things that we need to do to stay faithful. Which brings me to my next scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. You can just write this down. I'll read it to you. By faith, Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of his reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That is one of our examples of faith. Our treasure chest is loaded with everything good and right. We know that in our treasure chest we have to have study, prayer, Bible study, fasting, to draw closer to Him, to build that relationship, to be able to understand the plan of God and His salvation, that He's allowing us to be a part of His family. You should be able to jump up off your chairs. Don't do it. But it should make you that excited to be a part of this plan, to be a part of the actions that are being taken place, to understand what you're seeing in prophecy, to see what you're seeing on the news and understand that it's bringing us one step closer to God's will and ways. And the thing is that it's what we don't see that we have to be fearful of. That we do not have to be fearful of, excuse me. Because the fact is that we know that God is protecting us. A treasure's worth must be measured in the increments discerning how much closer it is drawing us to God. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. And we know those in terms, he's just saying, give all. Give everything for the kingdom. Give everything for the righteousness that he has set before us. That we won't lose sight of the kingdom when we're surrounded by so much negativity and the message that Satan is broadcasting every day. And I don't care which news agency you watch. Everybody has their own agenda. But the fact is, God has an agenda for us. And we need to stay focused on His words and His will and His ways. His desire. Nevertheless, not my will. We have to keep casting our net on the other side. Wealth is increased when our dependence is on God rather than material possessions. Some of us have felt the sting of losing what we thought we couldn't live without. And let me tell you, brethren, it's an amazing thing how that you realize. I've seen people, and I look around the world, and some people have committed suicide over the loss of material possessions. And you know what? It's just wood, hay, and stubble that can be burned up. This, brethren, this Bible, the paper and the leather that sits on your lap, the words that are encompassed in this material brings life. So many of us think, well, you know what? I'm going to make it through, and if things get bad, I've got my gun. Well, you know, it's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. When you think about how powerful God is and how small we are. Not by might are we going to make it into God's kingdom. We move forward on our knees, praying to God, looking for His direction, relying and trusting on God, serving Him in all capacities, understanding what our true treasure is, our families and the bonds that we have here in this room. Treasure that, brethren. Whether they be old, whether they're young, whether they can barely crawl, whether they can barely walk. Treasure your family. treasure your spiritual family. Because the 3 million people outside this room, there's very few more that know what you know. And understanding that, we don't want to take that for granted or forsake it. The understanding the cycle of the banking system, the whole thrust of this system is to keep you in debt. And they go to extraordinary levels. You don't need a loan? Hey, we can give you money. You need a loan? Well, we'll give it to you. But we'll give it to you at 32%. The one thing about it is that in Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, God instructs us, owe no man anything save love to one another. For he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. We know that this system ultimately will collapse upon itself. And those that control the wealth will dictate who will be able to buy and sell, thusly bringing prophecy to fruition, as it mentions in Revelation 13 and verse 17. And no man should be able to buy or sell, save that he have the mark, even the name of the beast, or the number in his name. The fiat money that is lent results in time and labor and material being invested on behalf of the private sector, only to be seized after being built and values added, thusly adding debt to the balance sheets of the confiscated properties. You say, oh, those loans are toxic. Now, we've been taught this is a bad thing, but it goes back into the system, and the balance sheets of the lending institutions are forgiven. And you know who pays for that? Those that are working hard, making that living. But they'll say, hey, look, we'll forgive the debt or we'll change it. We'll give you a longer loan, thusly adding interest to it. There are African countries that will never be able to pay back the loans that they have, ever. And we're shortly headed that way. Hopefully not to. I don't know what God has in store. But I know that we are our debt. Every one of you sitting in here has just amassed more debt than you ever thought possible. But we're rich towards God. And we're rich towards His plan. And we're rich towards the understanding as to we know that He's in charge. This all has to come to pass to bring His plan to fruition. Thusly, we cannot worry about this type of system or allow ourselves to be caught up in the vortex and the thought process that keeps us from drawing closer to God. God's system of giving. We know that God has a year of Jubilee in His system. We know that God has a third tithe system that works. We can see throughout the Bible many times when God's system's in place that people prosper. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, and speaking in regards to the Solomon when he was dedicating the temple. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, it says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 2, and the priests could not enter into the house because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces upon the ground of the pavement. and worship, and they praise God, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. Verse 5. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also on the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endures forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Verse 7. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he had offered burnt offerings and fat of the peace offering, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. There was so much abundance during this feast time, the dedication of the temple, that they couldn't receive it all. We know that time's in front of us, and moving forward, we look forward to that time when God's system's in place and we can reap the rewards of goodness and mercy rather than greed and debt and guilt that Satan has thrust upon us. Look forward to that day. It's hard to recognize sometimes because we get caught up in the world's rhetoric. We see the news. We're willing to speak evil of dignitaries because the news is doing it. Brethren, God encourages us to come out of her, my people, in Revelation 18, verse 4. We have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to understand his will, his way, and to do his will and his way, and to be loving and respectful to those God has put in place. We must understand that the treasure that God gives is our understanding and our closeness to him. As I mentioned before, we cannot outgive God. The tendency is to give. But if it's going to take away from me, well, maybe, God, I won't give as much as I've thought about before. And we'll think twice about it. But we have an example from Jesus Christ that says, hey, if someone takes your coat, give them your cloak also. Brethren, it is our wonderful calling, our mercy, our merciful God that has allowed us to come here today to understand his plan of salvation, his love, his will, what true treasure is. As time marches on and we come closer and closer to the close of this chapter time, it is up to us to choose not to participate in the attitudes and the desires that have been thrust upon us as what is to perceived as wealth. Deep down, our understanding that God owns everything, everything. And it is his goodwill to give to those who are truly seeking his way. That is how we can measure true wealth.